Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast. Thank you for checking us out again. This is the podcast related to the Ham Radio Crash Course on YouTube. So if you're interested, check us out there. Anyway, without further ado, let's get started. Hello, Leia. Thank you again for meeting with me in our podcast studio to do this podcast. How are you this week?
I'm good. I just want to clarify, though, yes. I'm not on the YouTube channel.
You are not. Yes, this is the only source for Leia info aside from Facebook.
I do join the live chats.
You do. You are a commentator.
Yes.
On the live chats.
Yes.
The live streams that are every Saturday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the YouTube Ham Radio Crash Course channel. But how has your week been?
It's good. I'm actually looking at your hair right now because I promised everybody on the live stream that your hair would be cut by the next live stream. Mm. And I got really nervous when I was cutting the top.
Mm-hmm.
And just so for people who don't know, in California, we're in the middle of a heat wave.
Mm-hmm.
And the requirements for the state are that barbershops and beauty salons are only allowed to operate outside.
Right.
So it doesn't seem like a very positive experience. How do they wash your hair outside? They just hose you down?
Yeah, just like garden a dog. Hose. Yeah, like a dog. It's really refreshing considering it's 110 degrees outside. Just hold me down and put the hose on me.
I remember when I cut your hair, I think it was on Sunday, and you came out after you had washed your hair and dried it. You said, I look like Beavis.
I did. You'll see, I guess, on the live stream. But
it's not so bad when you style it, though. Right now, it's not styled at all. So.
Oh, really? Oh, I tried really hard for this. So you could see my hair all did.
You look a little mad scientist, like you've been pulling your hair out in the lab.
I, like, electrocuted myself, so just sticking right up. Yes, that's what I feel like, too. So, again, though, thanks for joining me. I hope everything's been going well with your week, because I've been at work. You've been stuck at home with the kids.
Yeah, you found out there are over 50 positive COVID cases.
I mean, since the beginning of this whole kicked out, this whole thing got kicked out.
You work on a pretty big campus too, though. Yeah. So
anyway, well, our standard show format has been, at least for the last 4 weeks. We really like the reviews that you guys send. We really love to read them on the show, and so we've been going to iTunes. But we've kind of added the podcast to other networks, so we've got a couple other reviews that Leia's going to read. But first, I'll jump through the iTunes ones. Again, thank you for everybody that gives us the reviews out there. 5 stars are always appreciated. The other ones, not so much, but they're appreciated regardless. So this first comment comes from...
Are they, though?
Are they? Movie Hunter 1. I wonder who that is. Leia should really have more podcasts, and her co-host has a great beard. Well, thank you.
That's my sister.
Yeah, thank you. The next one, Todd here.
Fictional Todd.
Fictional Todd. So my name is Todd. And I'm in South Carolina, not North Carolina.
Well, stop stealing people's call signs, Todd, in South Carolina. Just kidding.
South Carolina bootlegger Todd. Call sign is KO4WTF. It's kind of funny.
Do we need to go check to make sure that's actually registered to a Todd?
I'm sorry, this full name's Todd Burt? Is that you? I'm loving the kitchen podcast format. This banter is a great example of what married life should be. Listening to your podcast makes me want to learn CW and get my general.
Wow.
So can keep it up. Well,
thank you, Todd Stiffer.
Todd Stiffer. Todd Cephas? Is that it? Excellent podcast, says P.O. Bear Reach D. Okay.
Excellent.
Very enjoyable and informational podcast. However, I was getting a little paranoid about the fictional bootlegger discussed on the last episode. It was not me. Todd. KJ7JH8. JHH.
Thank you, Todd a Million.
Todd a Million. A Whole New World by Scotty AVNW. Thank you from a brand new ham. While studying for the exam, I stumbled across this podcast and realized that there was much more to the ham radio world than I had originally realized. Thought it had always been the Leia and Josh show until I started binging past episodes. Leia provides a refreshing take and asks a lot of the questions I've had, but would probably have been too scared to ask. Which is part of the reason why you're on the show. This is one of the main reasons for me anyway. I didn't tell you this. This is kind of my secret. My secret sauce of the whole thing.
So what's interesting about that is you have a Ham Radio Crash Course Facebook group.
Yes.
It has over 10,000 members. Mm-hmm. It has an associated buy-sell trade group so people can list, you know, things they want to buy or sell.
Yes.
And I'm an admin on that group for, I'm not sure why I don't do much in the group.
Well, you know what like horrible comments look like and you can nuke them from orbit. Yeah. I mean, that's.
And this was a particularly bad week in the adminning of ham radio groups.
Wow.
And a part of it.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was bad.
I mean, seeing some of the responses people give, and your group, I would say, is one of the more inclusive ones, because I've been on QRZ to read like certain threads. Yeah. I'm like, I could never ask a question in QRZ. They expect you on that forum to be one, a ham for sure, but a knowledgeable ham.
I don't even know how they let me post there. I don't have a degree in RF technologies, in understanding RF. I'm an engineer, but of the software variety.
Right.
So I don't even know how they let me in the door in that website. I'm poking fun at QRZ. There are a lot of great people on QRZ.
Well, they're extremely knowledgeable.
Okay. So let me say the first thing first. There is a wide swath of the ham community on QRZ.
Yeah.
Both beginners and people who are very experienced, super, super experienced. And there are salty trolls just spliced among all those groups, though. From the new hams all the way to the old hams, there's salty individuals that really let you have it on QRZ. I'm not surprised that that happens. I just wish it wasn't like that, especially for the new people.
So I think I do know why it's like that.
Oh, I would love to hear this. I have my own thoughts, but go ahead.
So in things that have a higher barrier to entry, there is this element that you have passed a test to join this group, right?
Well, there is a low benchmark, but you must cross that benchmark.
I don't think it's low at all. I've been doing 5 questions a week.
5 questions a week, yes. Yeah,
but it's not like if
you're
you
on
had
like the
no.
Sally Struthers 90s VHS training. There was either VCR, TV repair, or get your degree, and then below that trailing was or get your ham radio license, right?
Yeah,
remember that? Okay,
so
that really dated us, by the way.
People
oh
are
boy,
like, who is Sally Struthers?
What is TV VCR? What is a VCR? Who is repairs
this,
those?
Is this radio related?
Did you make a radio out of that?
but it is when you have that kind of barrier to entry as well, and it's in such a highly technical area, I think engineers get this way very much too.
I think I know where you're going, and you're probably totally right, but keep going.
It's really about, one, expecting your community to have met a certain benchmark, but the other part is flexing your knowledge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, if you can identify stupidity, that means you yourself are not stupid.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you were the one to identify the stupidity. Yes. Also, there's an aspect of the only thing that matters is the technically accurate answer.
Right.
It doesn't matter how like bias the tone of the message that's conveying the knowledge. When the knowledge is given to you, some people believe this, that when the knowledge is given to you, you just must accept it because it is the right answer.
Right.
You will accept it.
Well, it's almost disrespectful to them if you don't accept it.
And capitulate, right, to the superior knowledge, yeah.
Right.
There are some people that are that way, of course.
But here's the problem with mm-hmm. that. When you yeah. are dealing with something so highly technical, and it's not anything that, as we've proved through taking the test, that a lot of the information can't just be based on logic. You need to know it.
I think so. I think that you can memorize the test.
Yes, you can memorize.
I think you
can. But you can't. It's not like some things you can potentially go into the SAT and ace the SAT.
Right.
Some people don't need to study for the SAT, right?
It's for multiple reasons, but one of those reasons is memorization. It doesn't mean you know the answer per se.
You can't suss out the answers. You can't necessarily trick the test. You actually have to go and memorize or have knowledge of it. You have to prepare for the test.
Yeah.
If you are a layman with no prior knowledge, you have to go in and actually prepare for it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm tracking.
And you totally derailed my train of thought.
You have to have technical knowledge.
Yeah. Well, you handed me this drink, and it's pink. It's got pineapple at the bottom and strawberry.
I made a pink drink.
Yeah. And it's got vodka. It's hard to tell.
Kind of tastes like a Hawaiian punch.
Yes, definitely. So when you have a scenario like that, for new people to get involved, to put them in a position where they're afraid to ask the questions to gain the knowledge.
Oh, yes.
I, like, if it were not for you mm-hmm. and sitting here and allowing me to be stupid, right? And there are even times where I'm looking at a question and I'm like, should I already know this?
I bet there's a lot of people that feel that way.
Yeah, and then
I'm sure of it.
And you don't want to ask, and then you're like, oh, well, forget it, because it's put me in such an uncomfortable place.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. And I bet there's a lot of people that feel that way. And I know we're kind of using QRZ as a pinata.
No, but I was going to say that on the Ham Radio Crash Course Facebook group, there were a couple of messages this week that were like that. Mm. The admins did such an amazing job stepping in, removing the comments, and if they were getting out of hand, just lock the thread.
Yeah.
And I admin a good number of groups on Facebook, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And my philosophy generally is we're adults.
Thunderdome.
Yeah. We're adults. I expect you all to act like adults.
Yes.
And if you're going to dish it out, you're going to need to take it. And also, if you decide to say racist things, I'm not going to delete them. I'm going to make it live on the internet forever.
Nice. and for a
community. But I realize that doesn't actually create an inclusive.
No, it creates a Thunderdome, right?
Yeah.
Where people get into brawls. And it's a community. Your group is a community group.
Yeah.
Our group is like trying to support not just newcomers, but every person that is approaching some aspect of ham radio for the first time. They are new all over again. Of course, they have a baseline to build off of. Like, they have whatever knowledge they've been carrying with them. But every time you go to a new thing on ham radio, it's like you're starting over in a lot of ways.
Oh, that's interesting and discouraging.
No, but I mean, for people like me, I love that about it, right?
Yes.
I find a new thing, a new squirrel to go chase after.
Something and then, else to get frustrated about.
Yeah, but maybe I'm a masochist in some way. I don't know.
Something to
a
get frustrated
masochist?
About.
What do they have a name for that?
Or to spend money on fixing.
Yes, on both accounts. You got it. Man, you know me so well.
So, anyways, I just wanted to say that they do such an amazing job.
They do. Amazing, amazing, amazing. The admins and it's not just the Facebook groups.
Yes,
it's
and
the Discord.
The Discord, yeah, they do such a great job.
And the Discord has been harder recently, but I think hopefully things have calmed down a little bit. Because we are a Discord that is welcoming two people that want to be involved in ham radio.
Right.
The only thing we ask really is you don't be a jerk.
Right.
And you be inclusive to people.
Yeah.
People will ask dumb questions.
And that has to be okay.
That has to be okay.
You have to come at everybody with the expectation that everybody started somewhere.
Correct.
Right?
Right.
Or
just
or
because you learned something, it didn't mean we all advanced as a human species to know what you know. Right?
We're not the Borg.
Right, right. We don't have a collective. Oh, I'm going to tap into the hive mind now and upload what I learned today. Yeah. It doesn't work that way.
If it was like that, I wouldn't have to get my license.
We have figured this out, yes, because you have not necessarily osmosis the answers to these questions.
Yes. So that was a bit of a tangent off of that review.
No, it was good. And that's been what's going on this week. There's been a lot of that. And I appreciate your comments and your thoughts on that. You've got a couple of reviews.
Oh, is that all for the iTunes?
Yeah.
I really like the iTunes reviews because they're centrally located and the way that they're presented is easy to access.
Yes, please.
In virtually no other platform is it that easy to access comments on a...
Yeah, if you have the wherewithal to do an iTunes comment and you want us to,
I think iHeartRadio might also have a very good platform.
Are we there now too?
They've got some approval process. I don't know if it's through, but yeah. Anyway, there is one from. I don't know if this is just a random series of letters, but I'm just going to read them out.
Okay.
It is PBGDE74F7RVCW.
Nice.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
I appreciate the comment, regardless of the name. I don't
know.
It's
just a random string of characters and numbers.
It says, the chit-chat between Josh and his missus reminds me of old-time radio.
Oh, you see, dame.
We are talking about ham radio, so I guess it could definitely... be old time.
You really warm up my tubes.
Wow. And then I got a message from Tom Wright, who's actually a YouTuber. His channel is Tango Oscar Mike 73, and he sent in a idea for QRP Hero shirt.
Ah.
And it is QRP Heroes Low Power Maximum Effort.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. So I am going to...
Is this on your email? Or...
Yes.
Oh, we're on... Okay. By the way, you can email Leia with shirt ideas for our merch at leia@hamtactical.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Sorry to interrupt you.
So I'm going to be working on this shirt, and if it turns out good, Tom Wright, I'm going to send you a free one.
Oh, man. Very good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Because especially given Josh's response to the maximum effort part.
Yeah, that was good. Low power, maximum effort. I like that. There's back in the, what was it, the 80s, I guess? Yeah, it was 80s. The G.I. Joe cartoon. Remember the G.I. Joe cartoon?
Yes.
I'm sure.
G.I. Joe.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The action figures for G.I. Joe, they were on this cardboard backing, and it was a black background with like a red explosion behind them. And there was always an action shot of one of the Joes like jumping out. And I feel like low power, maximum effort, like a G.I.
Joe.
Done.
It's going to be a
G.I.
Joe shirt.
And they're holding the QRP radio.
Yes. You're done. You've designed it. You can have a free shirt too.
Yes. I did it. I'm in there.
It's going to be like 3 hours of graphic design work, but that's fine.
It's going to be like a G.I. a Joe-ish type person. Uh-huh. Maybe make them a little less muscular.
No military hat.
A little less muscular. Maybe a little more heavy. In the midsection.
Think that's true.
Eh. Okay. Holding the radio and then like has headphones on and then has like an antenna. I think that's funny.
I do remember seeing some YouTubers Zoom chat or something. I think it might have been on your stream where you had a bunch of, it might have actually been when you had all your admins on.
Oh, yeah.
But I basically said, man, what a good-looking group of hams.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It's like, so I think you are incorrect about that. I'm going to make them as muscular as I want them.
Okay. I can eat this radio.
This is The Rock.
Yeah. I don't get Rock to pose for it.
Yeah.
I'll send him a message on Instagram. Hey, Rock. Are you interested in ham radio?
Mr. Rock?
Mr. The Rock?
I have smelled what you are cooking.
Is it ham?
quite honey baked.
So again, you can hit Leia up at leia@hamtactical.com. We love ideas for merch, but also if you have comments on the podcast, because this is generally, Leia doesn't isn't involved in the YouTube side of things, really, aside from, you know, the live stream, like you mentioned.
Well, I do edit the newsletter.
That is true, but that's a paid.
And I handle the shipping.
That's also true.
Which apparently is going to start getting really crazy since you have some.
I don't want to say anything yet. Don't say anything yet.
We nothing have about the GIV.
They're not children.
You know what? Ben's really going to get around this real fast. Yeah. I think he caught me a couple of times already. I'm like, you learned to read so soon.
It's already over. Now, see? Leia, Morse code. Let me just say, Morse code. Because he's already learning Chinese. That's I can't true. Learn Chinese because he already knows a lot of it.
Yes.
Morse code.
He's really salty about the fact that I know more languages than him. I'm like, I'm an adult.
I'm an adult.
He's like, I'm not very good at Chinese, and you know how to speak English and Mandarin and Cantonese and Vietnamese and Spanish. I'm not fluent in any of those other than English.
Right.
But I know enough to understand when somebody's saying about me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he was just like, I'm just only English and a little bit of Chinese, and I'm not good at Chinese.
I mean, I like the intensity, though. It's a good amount of drive. Well, it's intense.
As long as he's not feeling defeated by it. But I'm like, I'm an adult. I have like decades of experience on you. If you want to learn more languages, make that your goal. You know, my soon-to-be 7-year-old.
I mean, I like the intensity, but backing that, there's got to be a certain drive to actually like practice, right?
Yes.
And that's always...
I mean, he does ask to watch Chinese videos every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Which is fine. Netflix, in which you turn on the the Mandarin dubbing and he watches a cartoon and doesn't pay attention to what they're saying.
I think he's picking it up, though. His enunciation is getting much better.
Oh, that's good. Okay. So I've got a couple of show ideas that we're going to walk through. So recently a product was introduced and we've known about it for a little while. And I just kind of want to get your thoughts on the whole thing. So there's something called the G-SOC, the G-S-O-C.
Oh, we're not doing the questions?
Oh, my gosh. You're right. I totally skipped it. Oh, my gosh. I was looking at the time. I'm like, this feels early to get into the show now. Sorry about that. So, yeah, I don't even know how this is going. How many episodes are we doing this? How many have we done?
Are we back for the fifth week in a row?
Fifth week in a row.
Amazing. Amazing consistency.
Oh. No, really, this has been fun, though. It has been a nice little thing we do on Thursdays.
It's like date night, but all ham radio related.
It's because we can't go anywhere.
It's true. I did look into getting an Airbnb.
To do the podcast in? That'd be awesome.
No, I mean, just for a getaway, but that I tried to match it to the vacation goal of being close to a summit.
Oh, wow. I like it. Very good.
So I ended up looking at some places in Big Bear was kind of the closest that had decent Airbnbs. But I also want a pool and a jacuzzi, which is very hard to come by in Big Bear.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. Maybe a hot tub at most. But.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Now it's over, though, because school comes back on Monday.
Yeah. Please, let's continue Leia's journey.
I'm at 15 out of 35. So
questions asked.
Yes. Yeah, so
yes.
So after this episode.
So check out podcast 40, where we
find out how it turns out. What kind of amateur station simultaneously retransmits the signal of another amateur station on different channel or channels? A beacon station, B, a message forwarding station, C, earth station, or D, repeater station? I know that. That's a repeater station.
Yes, you do. Yep. Very good. And the simultaneous was the important part.
Why is that? Oh, because it doesn't stop Right.
No, because you're literally, you're transmitting in on one frequency, mm-hmm. and that repeater is transmitting out on a frequency that's stepped off of that frequency.
Real time.
Real time.
Right. What is component 8 in figure T2?
Oh, this
is good. Perfect question for a podcast.
Perfect.
Because you can definitely see the squiggly lines.
Mm, yes.
And the there's like these bumpy lines and these parallel lines.
Close your eyes
and then straight
and then
lines.
Open your mind's eye.
And then, and then this little resistor looking thing.
Mm.
And then a flappy door looking thing.
That's usually a switch.
And then an upside down trident. Like four of them.
That's ground or an antenna? I guess it's an antenna. It looks like a crow's foot, right?
It looks like an upside down trident.
That's ground.
Okay. So eight is a solid triangle that is upside down on a line with two squiggly arrows parallel to each other. It's like, it looks like a lightning bolt arrow.
I'm not even looking at this.
Okay.
So your explanation is as good as I've got.
My options are A, inductor, B, resistor, C, regulator IC, D, light emitting diode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I have not talked to you about electrical components at all.
No.
But I think I know the answer to this, just from your explanation.
I mean, I've used the snap circuit with Ben three times.
But it doesn't actually show you. Well, it kind of does, I guess.
It's got the symbols on it.
It does? Okay.
But I have not seen the upside down triangle on a line that it looks like it's coming out of the squiggly line, which I think it's supposed to be a resistor.
I mean, I will answer that question.
It's like a zigzag line
that runs parallel with the other lines is a resistor.
Yeah. Well, it looks like if you're looking at like an EKG,
mm-hmm.
like that.
Okay.
It's coming.
Is this another component that's on this
it's
image?
It's right before the 8.
So not
it goes
the question
seven.
That's being asked.
Yeah, it goes 7, which is the EKG squiggly line.
Yeah.
Right? And then the 8 is the inverted.
And you're being asked about
triangle,
8?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
So 7 has nothing to do with this, so I don't know why you're asking me.
Well, okay.
It plays no mind in this other than, yes, the squiggly line is a resistor. So that does narrow down the question for you a little bit. So I broke my cardinal rule, which is to not help you.
But I pretty much knew that was a resistor. And then I think a diode, a light emitting diode, is a different symbol that is not.
Why is that?
This.
Why is that?
Because I want to say that the light emitting diode is. Oh, no. No. Okay, I'm wrong. I'm just going to guess now.
Mm, okay.
That it's a regulator.
It's a light emitting diode.
Why?
The lightning bolt is the...
It's a lightning bolt arrow, though.
Yeah. Light is emitting out of it. So a diode is one directional. The arrow implies directionality.
Oh.
Power can only go through a diode in one direction. If you put them in the wrong way, it won't pass.
Okay. Well, I'm going to remember that two lightning bolt arrows
is a LED.
To be light. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Got it. Okay, which agency regulates and enforces the rules for amateur radio service in the United States? A, all of these choices are correct. B, Homeland Security. C, the FCC, or D, FEMA. Definitely FEMA, because it's all about e-coms.
Yeah, that's it.
The FCC. Homeland Security is not even called Homeland Security anymore, right?
What is it? Pretty sure it is.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought it was. Oh, it is. It is. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I was thinking about ICE, DHSS, which is Department of Homeland Security and Secrets. What is the second?
What?
What is DHSS?
I don't know, man.
Okay, well, that's a fun talk.
Hold on, DHL's at the door.
DHL. They have been doing a lot of deliveries in our neighborhood, though.
DHL?
Yeah.
Really?
Under which of the following circumstances are amateur stations authorized to transmit signals related to broadcasting, program production, or news gathering, assuming no other means is available? A, only when amateur repeaters link to the internet. B, only where such communications directly relate to the immediate safety of human life or protection of property. C, only where non-commercial programming is gathered and supplied exclusively to the National Public Radio Network. D, only when broadcasting communications to or from the space shuttle. It's B, right? Yeah, only where such communications yes. directly relate to the immediate safety of human life or protection of property.
So like during
property.
An emergency.
Yes. Which of the following battery types is not rechargeable? A, lead acid. B, lithium ion. C, carbon zinc. D, nickel cadmium. Oh, so lithium ions are rechargeable. I actually do not know this.
Any of them? None of them are rechargeable to you?
Well, I know lithium ions are rechargeable.
Okay.
I think that old school batteries are made from nickel cadmium.
Okay.
And that they weren't rechargeable, but I'm not sure that they haven't come up with a way to recharge them.
Okay.
Lead acid or carbon zinc? Is lead acid, is that the kind of battery that's in your car?
No.
What?
I mean, okay, yeah, that would be a non-sealed lead acid. Yeah, okay. You'd use, like, hydrochloric
acid.
And
those are rechargeable because that's what it's doing in your car. I don't know what a carbon zinc battery is. Is that a real battery?
I don't. Well, I'm not going to say anything on this one.
So it's C or D.
If I start talking, then it might. Yeah.
But would they have put in something that isn't even a battery type?
You usually get two like decent answers and then two not decent answers, or one just blatantly fake answer with the technician test.
Would it not be rechargeable because it doesn't exist? That's a poorly written question then.
Oh no, they'll definitely throw things in that don't exist. But yeah.
I'm just going to go nickel cadmium. Ugh, carbon zinc. Was I totally wrong that old batteries are made from nickel cadmium?
Nickel metal hydride usually is the old batteries.
Oh. Okay. Do carbon zinc batteries exist?
I mean, I'm assuming they exist, but they're not rechargeable.
I guess you can't recharge something that doesn't exist. I'll look that up later, I guess. I mean, you don't have a computer in front of you to look it up for me or anything. So that's great.
You just need to know the right answer.
But nickel cadmiums are rechargeable?
Yeah.
Do you have?
No, I don't use those.
Yeah.
I have, we call them sleds, sealed lead acid. I have those. They're very heavy. And so generally I try and do lithium ion whenever possible.
I mean, it's making me wonder, these two battery categories, is there a benefit to using a different kind of battery in your radio, aside from the fact that you're not constantly tossing batteries?
Battery decisions are usually based off of the amp hour ability of the battery, how many amp hours you get out of it, so how long it'll run your equipment.
Okay.
How heavy they are and how expensive they are. So sealed lead acid batteries or AGM batteries, that's another option, much, much heavier than lithium ion batteries. So they make a compelling option for when you're at home. Your radio's not going to go anywhere. You're not going to move the batteries around. You can get a big old bank of those, put it under your workbench or whatever, and power your equipment off of it if you're going off of solar, for instance. Lithium ion, though, much more expensive. They make good options if you're going portable. If you're going to carry something outdoors or carry something in a backpack, you generally see people moving towards lithium ion or lithium polymer based batteries.
But wouldn't a carbon zinc battery be very light?
Now you're just going to make me look it up.
Yes. Go to the next question. Which of the following precautions should be taken when measuring circuit resistance with an ohmmeter? A, ensure that the circuit is not powered. B, ensure that the applied voltages are correct. C, ensure that the circuit is grounded. D, ensure that the circuit is operating at the correct frequency. Okay, well, I don't think it's D.
So, yeah, I went and looked it up. So, carbon zinc is just your traditional off-the-shelf dry cell AA, AAA battery.
Really?
Yeah.
Why did I think that those were nickel-based?
Well, so the nickel metal hydride batteries are a whole different thing, I guess. But I think those are also rechargeable.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, they're the Eneloops, basically.
Oh. So you do have them.
It's apparently. I don't know. I focus on rechargeable batteries mainly. I don't buy the off-the-shelf ones for ham radio.
Do different batteries create any interference?
Batteries are generally pretty clean because they're DC.
Mm-hmm. So if you're measuring the circuit resistance with an ohmmeter, don't you want the circuit to be powered?
Ask the question again.
Which of the following precautions should be taken when measuring circuit resistance with an ohmmeter?
Okay.
A, ensure that the circuit is not powered. B, ensure that the applied voltages are correct. C, ensure that the circuit is grounded. D, ensure that the circuit is operating at the correct frequency. I don't think it's D.
So the answer to this is like leap out, obvious, very clear answer. But I haven't really talked to you much about very specific electronic components. And we definitely haven't talked about how this stuff works when you're testing it. So you're going to have to talk through what you're thinking, I think.
I think it's B or C. I'm just not sure if the circuit has to be grounded. Do circuits all have to be grounded?
So generally when you're testing parts of a circuit, you're isolating certain segments of it.
Okay.
To see, so when you have an ohm meter, you've got a positive lead and a negative lead.
Okay.
And you're trying to test what's going in between those two leads.
Oh, so then you don't want the circuit powered because you're putting the power in it with the ohm meter? Okay. Ensure that the circuit is not powered.
So a couple of things there. If the circuit's powered and you connect to it with some ohmmeters, you could like blow the fuse in the ohmmeter.
Okay. I did not understand how an ohmmeter works.
It does lots of things. A multimeter, ohmmeter. An ohmmeter usually implies it's looking for resistance. Resistance is the byproduct of the level of resistors and other things that are in your electrical circuit. So when you're testing that electrical circuit, you're using the two probes to see what's going on between the two probes.
Right. So
power going through it.
So you're providing the power for the metering. The meter
does apply power, right? It's putting out a certain amount of power and then measuring what's received on the other end.
Gotcha.
To determine what the resistance is.
The only thing I know about multimeters is that somebody once borrowed one of yours and never brought it back, and you've been salty ever since.
Oh my God, my uncle. Yeah. My dad gave me that multimeter and I was so happy about it. And my dad had an analog, a decently nice one that sat on his workbench.
I mean, you were young when this happened.
Yeah, but I don't forget. I got like a memory like an elephant.
I know. I want to say it was the first thing you told me about this uncle.
The first thing I told you when we met, I was like, did you know my uncle borrowed my ohm meter and he burnt it up? And I was very upset. Okay, bye. Can I have your number? Wait.
No, the first time I met that uncle, or when we were going to meet this uncle.
And I'm like, don't trust him. Yeah. Burn up your ohm meter. Burn it right up. And along with your dreams.
And every time somebody wants to borrow something that is like a tool or something like that.
No.
You're like,
not.
Are they going to bring it back? Because this one time, I was like, I know, the multimeter, I get it.
There's two parts that burnt me on this one. Okay, first, there's the bad
parts.
There's the bad of him actually, like, I think the story goes, he took it and he just shoved it into an outlet.
Why?
He had it on the wrong setting. He was trying to measure voltage. I mean, it does that too. It will measure voltage. But
well, that's what I was thinking when I read this. I was like, oh,
but
I
it's asking about resistance, not voltage.
Gotcha.
And he must have had it on resistance or something. Who knows? But the story is he shoved it into a light switch and it burnt up. The first bad, though, was that when the uncle came by and said, can I borrow a multimeter? My dad's like, yeah, here, take this one. And it was mine that he gave me.
Well, he just gave it to somebody else. That's all.
Yeah. Well.
No, that's fine. Nobody gets mad at that, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Which computer sound card port is connected to a transceiver's headphone or speaker output for operating digital modes?
Alexa doesn't know that one.
We have it set up so that we feel like we're on the Starship Enterprise.
Computer. Earl Grey hot. Yes.
But she doesn't know this one.
No,
so
no, she doesn't know it.
Yeah, she doesn't know it. Okay. A, mute. B, microphone or line input. C, PCI or SDI. D, headphone output.
Okay.
Headphone output. No, wait. It's the PCI, right?
Again, I'm not going to answer you on this one.
Microphone or line input.
It's a two-way conversation. When you do digital, it's a two-way.
Right.
You have to transmit something and then listen.
Well, it said sound
receive.
Card.
Right. Sound cards are microphones and
All right.
speakers.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, I think that was actually six. So.
Well, very good. Okay. All right. So what I was going to start out talking about was there's a new product that got released, and it was a rumored thing. We're kind of living in a time where there's like interesting rumor ham radio devices coming out, and they're all really interesting. Like the last time was the Discover, the Lab 599
right.
TX500, which, you know, very...
Vaporware.
Everybody thought vaporware. Well, there was this... it's like a tablet-looking device, and it plugs into a very specific radio. And that radio has a screen on it that shows you a lot of the information, but this tablet basically takes that kind of larger-than-a-postage stamp screen, and it blows it up to a 7-inch screen. And it gives you all the control of the radio.
Does it do FT8?
Maybe. We don't know yet.
Is it a waterfall?
Definitely a waterfall.
Yes.
7 inches of waterfall and controls and all this stuff. There was a couple of YouTube videos that came out on it. And the YouTube videos kind of got secretly popular, not like ham radio viral, but like people that were like, hey, did you see? It's called this G-SOC, G-S-O-C device.
Why would that not go viral, like ham radio viral?
Well, it looked
Why is everybody whispering about it?
Well, it was kind of like...
Is it embarrassing?
It was shot like kind of potato-ish, like it was not the... It was just like a...
It was shot on a Samsung tablet.
Yeah. It was just like shot with the video on a phone or whatever and then just like hurriedly uploaded.
I feel like
YouTube.
You can't even say that anymore because the video quality on phones is... That's why I said it was a Samsung tablet.
So it was just like a video showing the device. It was like very little narration or anything. It was just like, hey, here's this thing.
Somebody 3D printed it.
Well, no, it was better quality than that. But anyway, what this device does is it gives you like full control over the radio on this controller box, which is, you know, the screen is 7 inches, so the box is even bigger than that. Now, I didn't tell you what radio this interface is, but the two episodes ago, I had all those radios on the table. And one of the radios was the G90, the Shagu G90. Mm-hmm. Remember it had that little screen in the front of it?
That's got a cult following.
It has a cult following. So this screen and control mechanism is for that radio specifically. The G90, you can pick one up. It's about $450.
Okay.
A really good price. It's a good price point for a radio.
Oh, that's a good price point for a radio.
Oh, yeah. For an entry-level HF radio, yeah, it's a good price point. Output power is 20 watts.
That's like a wallet at the Louis Vuitton store.
Yeah, okay. The output power on the G90 is 20 watts. So it's like QRP twice, right?
Okay.
QRP is 10 watts.
Right.
So 20 watts is, you know, 10 more. The interesting part about this, the G-SOC device, it just went out for pre-sale. And the asking price for it is $550.
It's more than the radio?
It's more than the radio.
The accessory is more than the radio?
Yes. So that's what I. Well, that's why I wanted to, you know, you're not, I haven't shown you what this thing looks like yet. In fact, I'll pull it up and I'll
show you.
Wait,
let me
ask
you a question.
Yes.
Does adding the accessory then make the G90 equivalent to a radio that is about the same price point?
So that's where I'm going with this. That's where I'm going with this.
Okay.
No, keep going though. Keep
if
going.
If it's adding the functionality that takes it from a $450 radio to
no,
what is
it doesn't do that. It purely gives you a screen and probably enhanced control capability, but it doesn't get more power output. It doesn't do anything like that. I'm showing Leia what it looks like right now.
How does that attach to the G90?
There's a cable. It has to be wired into the radio.
So it's like two components that don't even nest into each other?
No, it's just a free-floating device.
Is the idea that it's, well, it says universal controller and data terminal.
So there
it
is
works
this,
with the G90, but it's probably going to work with their future releases, too.
So that's an interesting thought, maybe. Maybe they're coming out with a 100-watt radio in the future, and this may interface with that. But for all intents and purposes, this is for connecting to the G90.
It doesn't work with any other radio right now.
As of this time, no. Because the G90 has the head unit, actually, the front part of where the screen is, disconnects from the radio, and behind it is the plug that this plugs into.
It replaces the face of the G90?
Not physically connected. There's a wire that separates them.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is a very interesting design choice.
It is. I
can
agree.
Does that attach to the front of the G90?
No.
It's
no,
not
no.
like a face replacement?
No, it's got like a kickstand. See the kickstand on the side of it?
So you remove the face off of the G90 to access
get rid
the
of that.
Wire.
Yeah, get rid of that.
And now you've got two components.
So the head unit for the G90, the stock head unit, goes away.
But they didn't make it so that it could nest on the existing unit, so it was one thing?
At this time, my understanding is no, it does not.
It doesn't mount, is what you're saying.
Does not mount. It'd be way too big to mount. This screen's way too big.
It's just crazy.
So
somebody's going to come up with a product that mounts it.
But why would you want to mount it?
So that you could easily pick it up.
The G90 is like 4 or 5 inches wide, and the screen is 7 inches. This thing's going to be like 8 or 9 inches wide.
I'm telling you, people like mounts.
Oh, okay.
All kinds of mounts.
Here's the interesting thing with this, in my point of view. The G-SOC is, you know, pre-sale price is $550. I assume that price is going to go down.
So that takes a G90 to $1,000.
Ask yeah
okay
$1,000 yeah,
so
technically
so,
it's yeah no 1,000 sure
okay so other QRP radios
well this is QRP plus 20 watts but yeah keep going
okay so a comparable radio mm-hmm. that has the features once that is added how much would that cost
good question so I would most
like what radio was it.
Yeah. I would mostly compare the G90, if you're going down that road, to an Elecraft KX3.
Oh, that's your $1,500 radio.
No, that's the KX2.
Oh, okay. What happened between 2 and 3?
So the Elecraft KX3 is a 15 watt.
About $500.
Yeah, you're not that wrong. The Elecraft KX3 is kind of like a mini. It's a Shack radio too. It has HF plus you can add components to it for the tuner and lots of other stuff.
Does the Shegu also require a separate tuner?
No, they both have internal tuners.
Okay,
but the KX3, you have to generally add that to it.
Okay.
So if you're doing the KX3, just the KX3, it is $1,500.
So what they've done,
and that's a package, but it's the radio plus some other stuff.
So this is the radio that's closest in comparable features and power.
Yes, sort of. The KX3 is a better performing radio.
Why?
The receiver, the ability to receive and the ability to transmit, the filtering capability, the ham radio type features are in the KX3 is better than the Shegu.
So could this new accessory mm-hmm. actually improve upon the filtering?
No. So the screen, this GSoC device, does not change the radio capability of the G90.
Just the display and
just
controls.
The display and the interface. So here's another picture I'm going to show you. So here is the KX3 with its accessory screen that you can buy.
Wait. It also has an accessory screen?
The Elecraft KX3 has an accessory screen that you can get.
So the next closest radio that is comparable mm-hmm. is $1,500 with the accessory screen or without the accessory screen?
Oh, without the accessory screen. If you get the accessory screen, that takes you up to $2,500. Okay. But hear me out. The ICOM 7300 is $1,000.
And does everything that the Shegu...
It does everything and way more. And it's 100-watt output.
I don't understand what's happening here then.
I don't either.
Why not just come up with the comparable radio to the... Unless they're actually planning that to be a modular piece to future radios.
It's very possible. It's very possible. But at the same time, I think...
So the KX3 has all of the capabilities that the Shegu G90 with the GSoC... Did you say it was a GSoC?
The Shegu G90 with the screen is... The screen is called the GSoC unit.
Okay, so the base KX3 is mm-hmm. equivalent to the G90 with the accessory? Or,
No. G90 to G90 to KX3, KX3. Radio to radio. They're separate radios.
Okay, so
and then you can put an accessory screen on each one of them.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, you're saying that this is a comparable product, but I'm saying... If you take the functionality of mm-hmm. what the G90 does mm-hmm. plus the accessory, is there a product on the market that is a single unit that does all of that?
Yeah, the 7300.
And nothing else?
I mean, technically every... So when you're talking about a radio box that already mm-hmm. is a box, and then you have to add another box with a screen on it, Those are now two separate things. You're not going portable with that, really, right?
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't take this out unless you're doing like field day. You're doing like a weekend long event. But I'm not putting that in a backpack and hiking, right? I may have like a camp out where I'll set this up on a camp out type thing, you know? Absolutely, that whole all of that. But the KX3 is a portable.
Do you
radio.
Have a mental chart in your head? What radio to time period you will spend in a place you take.
Yeah.
So it's like 1 to 6 hours.
Yeah.
Baofeng.
No, no.
To 12 hours.
No.
Yaesu.
No. So those are VHF, UHF radios. So you would just have one of those on you anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Those are universal.
My mistake.
Come on.
My mistake.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
So you're talking the secondary radio.
It's not I wouldn't call that the secondary radio either. HF radio is generally what I want to operate on all the time.
Right.
Right. So that's the primary radio. So generally, if it's like a quick thing, a day hike, or whatever, it's the Elecraft KX2. That's what I pack because it's the smallest radio, definitely the smallest, most feature radio that I have.
Okay.
The G90, much bigger than the KX2. But the G90 is 20 watts output.
Huh.
KX2 is only 10.
Gotcha.
So it's a little bit extra power. You double it, you get half an S unit. Your actual signal strength.
What is an S unit?
It is the way that we register signal strength when you're in front of a radio. There's an S meter, and the S meter goes from 1 to 9.
What has an S9?
That's the signal strength of the received signal.
Yeah. So you're saying an extra S unit. How do you get 9 S units?
More power. More power, better antenna.
So you're
antenna.
At a 100-watt radio.
I mean, so if I was talking to you over HF.
Somebody needs to make a chart, like a spinny wheel. I've got this many.
Spinny wheel.
This many watts to like
well,
this.
It's relative,
S unit.
Though. No, but it's relative because it depends on how far away you are from each other and what the band conditions are. All of this is affected by band conditions.
Hmm.
So let's say I'm talking to you on the KX2 and I'm talking at 10 watts output and you on your S meter hear me at an S3.
Okay.
If I talk to you on the G90, I would register as an S3.5.
Interesting.
If I talk to you on the 7300, 100 watts, every time you double the power output, you gain 1/2 S unit.
Okay.
So if I was 3.5.
Why doesn't everybody just operate on 100 watts?
Because then you got to carry around a 100 watt radio.
Is that the highest it goes, 100 watts?
No, then you throw an amp on it. Or there's radios that do 200 watts, but then you throw an amp on it, and that, you know, that's how you get to 800 watts in the, you know, in my shack. But 1500 watts is our legal limit in ham radio, by the way.
Oh, good to know.
1500 watts.
So, but what's the highest a radio goes without an amp?
There are radios that do 200 watts, but those are desktop radios.
Okay, so you're at 200 watts, and then an amp adds how much?
What do you mean?
Like, how much can an amp add? You're saying that 1,500 watts is the legal max.
The legal max.
But the highest a radio goes is 200?
No.
And then you add an amp.
You can't go above 1,500.
No, but I'm saying... So an amp can take you from the 200-watt radio to 1,500?
Yes. So, okay, we're getting into the weeds a little bit here. An amp takes in an input RF power.
Okay.
And strictly amplifies it. And you adjust how strong the output of the amplifier is by adjusting the radio's power that's feeding into it. So to get to 800 watts... On my amp that tops out at 800 watts, I only put in 60 watts output on the 7300.
Oh.
And then if I want to lower that, I just lower the output power on the 7300.
Why wouldn't you just be operating at your maximum power all the time?
Because you just blow up the amp then. It tops out. It has a maximum. That is the maximum. You
right,
feed
but you
it
just
the power to get to
you
maximum.
You would. Oh, I see. Okay.
The amp is just a box that you adjust until you get the most output.
Gotcha.
And you just dial
so you just
in the power. You dial up the power, dial back the power until you get the maximum output.
Interesting. Okay.
And while you adjust it. So.
Okay. So what you're saying is the 7300 does everything that the G90 plus this new accessory does at $1,000.
Yes. It's bigger, though, technically. But it's all one unit.
I mean, you can see their business model. They're at $1,000.
You're talking about the Shegu business model?
Uh-huh.
So the Shegu business model was, hey, here's a really cheap radio that you can buy right now that works pretty good. It's a pretty good radio.
Right.
$450.
Well, I mean, ham radio in itself is kind of a modular thing, right? You're like, I've got a radio now. I'm going to, if that radio doesn't have a tuner, I'm just going to add a tuner. If that, if I want more power, I'm going to add an amp. If I want, you know, if I want to get more signal, like distribution, I'm going to get a bigger antenna. The whole thing is modular. So it's not unusual to be like, oh, this radio doesn't have the screen and waterfall I want. Guess what? Now you have it. And you don't have to buy another radio to get there.
And you still technically maintain your portability.
Yeah.
Because you could just put back the original screen and take it out to a park or whatever. Yeah. Now, so that's kind of the Elecraft model with the KX2 and KX3. The KX2, KX3 has a modular screen. That's an accessory. They also have a modular amp that will take the output of the KX2 up to 100 watts.
Wow.
Guess who also has a modular amp?
Shegu is a ripoff Elecraft.
Shegu has a modular amp you can buy that will take it from 20 watts up to 125 or 100 watts, something like that. Depends on the amp you get.
Huh. So interesting.
You could buy a 7300, one box.
So in this world, Elecraft is like an Apple product and Shegu is like a Samsung product. I'm really crapping on Samsung today.
Yeah.
The kids got their Samsung tablets back from my mom's house and I'm trying to fiddle around with it. And I haven't used an Android product, tablet or phone in years. So when I'm messing around with this, I'm like, this is so clunky. What is happening? Is it that this thing is just so old?
Yes. Elecraft has been compared to Apple many times in amateur radio.
Well, is it because their user interface is so pleasant and it's so seamless to use?
Not necessarily. In some cases, yes, but they make very good radios, but they're very expensive.
Like just good out the box.
Oh yeah, I mean that's their ideal is that you right. Well, no, and let me take that back a step. Most of the Elecraft radios when they were starting out were all kits. You had to build it yourself.
And they were like, "You guys are building this all wrong. Let us build it for you."
We are tired of supporting these people.
We could save so much money if we would just build it in the first place.
Or make more money because they're charging them to build it and it's probably faster for them to do it. I believe they still sell one of their radios as a kit.
Oh, you should do that.
Oh, it's not a... It's a build.
Is this like our friend Mark who had like a plane in his garage?
A plane, yeah.
That he was building over time. He finally took that thing out.
And flew it?
Yeah.
Did he really?
He did.
He flew it.
He did. I think so.
Oh,
because
man.
Dave came over to Mark's place and he
and we
had,
waved at Mark as he was flying overhead or
he
of
had
Fullerton
the
Airport?
Perfect size trailer for the size of the plane. It was the exact length. His trailer was like the right length for...
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And then they took it out to Corona, I think he flies out of.
Interesting. Wow, I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, shoot. I didn't see the pictures for it.
But literally, the first time I ever went to Liz and Mark's house, mm-hmm. we saw the plane.
Yeah.
And almost every time I saw him after that, I would be like, how's the plane going? He's like, nowhere. Right? He just had tabled it for so long.
Yeah.
And then he's been retired for a good 3 years at least now.
Oh my gosh, Leigh, it's been more than that, I think.
5 years?
I mean, we have kids now.
Did we have Ben at his retirement party?
I think so. Dave and Leanne, when they got married, you had Ben on your back.
Was he retired before they got married?
I don't think so, but
No, he was retired at that time. Yeah. So at least 5 years. And you're talking about every time I've seen him.
Yeah.
It was going nowhere.
Right? Yeah.
And then suddenly it was done.
Done.
Is it going to be like that? Is it going to be your garage plane?
No, because like I don't have the room to store this stuff. I've got too much stuff.
Everybody's
as it
like,
is.
How's that Elecraft build?
How's that Elecraft? I don't need another thing for people to say like, hey, where's this at? But they make great radios.
Yeah.
The Elecraft stuff. So I found this whole thing fascinating with the screen. This was another item that was considered vaporware for quite a while. And what they actually ended up with, this screen, if this actually shows up that way and looks like this, it's a nice looking product.
Are you introducing this to me to tell me that you're going to buy this thing?
I already bought it. I got to review it.
I guess I just add that onto my tally. Hold on one second.
Add it to the board.
Getting closer to my dream bag.
I mean, the thing with the dream bag, though, is you're going to have to do a review for it. You have to open up a YouTube, and then we have to have a podcast, and then we have to get a Patreon. It's a really complicated, it's a slippery slope, let me tell you. Then we're out there admining groups on Facebook. It's a nightmare.
All of these things already exist in the purse world. Purse reviewers that have blogs, that have podcasts, that have YouTube channels, mm-hmm. that have Facebook groups.
Yeah.
A lot of them, you know what their members do? Bag authentication. This is...
Oh, like look at the parts of the bag?
And yeah, look at this bag and tell me if
tell
it's
you
a fake.
Legit? Oh, wow. Oh, I mean, that's what you want to do? That's
no,
your thing.
Oh. No. I'm going to get that bag, though.
I'm going to get that bag. So there was one more thing I wanted to talk about. So 2 weekends ago, I brought some radios out when we went to a park.
Yes.
And you saw me set this stuff up.
I mean, so far as you were setting up while I was trying to calm screaming kids.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I wanted to walk through.
And you know what? I was going to take a picture of you and you were like, no, you can't do that.
Oh, yeah. You can't talk much about.
Because I have a video coming out and I don't want to spoil it.
What?
I was going to take a picture and put it on Ham Tactical. Uh-huh. For Ham Tactical Stories, because sometimes I'll like do a day where if I'm with you, we just do a day of stories of what okay. you're doing, mm-hmm. right? And I was going to do that. And then you were like, no, you can't post any of this.
Yeah. Because the video goes up next week.
And then I felt like paparazzi.
Oh. Huh. That made you sign that NDA. It was really awkward.
Yeah.
So the interesting, so I was curious on what you thought goes into like a soda activation or like a Parks on the Air activation.
It was a lot of stuff that you brought out.
I brought out more stuff than you really need to do a Parks on the Air or
right,
soda.
Right, because the first part of the items you didn't end up using to try to make contacts.
Correct.
In the long run.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what it looked like to me was an antenna with guy lines.
That was the antenna.
Okay. And then...
It was a dipole.
You had your radio.
I did.
And then just the cabling.
To the radio, to power, and you know,
right,
whatever.
Right. And then you also had like your iPad or your little, not your iPad, but your little computer, I think.
My little computer. Yes. The little computer.
That's smaller than an iPad, but oddly has a keyboard. Like, you decided that you'd give up half of your screen
yeah.
to make it keyboard.
That's right. You get it.
It's basically like a sidekick. Why doesn't somebody just hack an old sidekick to make that work?
If it runs Windows 10, I might try it.
I was so sad when phones moved away from real
Crazy Town
typey keyboard. Crazy Town, you're the one walking around with a half a keyboard and then a screen that's equivalent to the size of the keyboard.
Yes, absolutely. So that's the equipment side of it. But the activation point, right? Because everybody says like, oh, I activated this park or I activated this summit.
Oh, man, you were just so frustrated.
Oh, yeah, because I've been trying to work on this for like this whole thing for a little while now.
We left for a hike and you came back.
Oh, we weren't even there that long, though.
Yeah, well.
We were there for like an hour.
I mean, literally.
It's because of the kids. I get it, but.
I had to deal with a toddler mm-hmm. who did not want to hike farther than 200 yards past the entrance
of the
hiking trail.
And
he was disinterested. We went through a butterfly garden on the way to the head of the trail.
Right.
And he didn't even want to do that anymore. And then when I come back,
Toddler is over butterflies, you know your time is limited.
I thought I was frustrated, but I came back and you were an aura of frustration.
It was not a good location where we set up. And part of that was because we were trying to distance ourselves in the park.
Yes.
And so I ended up in this really bad spot. But the point that I wanted to bring up.
Near horses, though. That was nice.
We heard them. Yeah. Every once in a while, they'd hear a horse. And then Ben went, is that a horse?
You could see them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the point that I was going to make is that, like, the walk through the process of doing an activation. So generally what happens is you get to your location, right? And then you set everything up. Mm-hmm. And because you're operating QRP, this is soda mainly. I'm the most proficient in soda. Because you're operating QRP, unless people are, like, listening on a frequency for you that they know to listen for, it's kind of hard.
This is the stacking the deck with your internet use.
Yes. Yeah. So the first thing you do if you have internet connection is you whip out your phone and you say, I'm spotting myself. I'm on this frequency. Come make contacts. I'm activating this summit.
You know what? I get why salty OMs do not like this.
They have no problem with this.
The stacking of the deck?
No, they don't have any problem with soda, self-spotting. It's part of the rules. It's fine. Because it's hard. Once you get yourself out there and you set up an antenna.
You explained this in the last podcast, how hard
I still
hard
haven't
it
sold
is.
You, though. Yeah, okay. So then after you self-spot yourself, you don't have to spot yourself, though. You can just go at it. You can just call CQ. You can just call CQ soda.
It sounds like it's the difference between going to a stocked lake and going to a natural lake and risking skunking at the natural lake.
This is like a fly fishing trout. Man, there's a lot of paramedics or sirens that just drove by outside. I saw them all. So when you get up on the summit, you can self-spot. You can do that, but you don't have to. But you have to make four contacts.
Four
successful contacts for you to activate that summit.
Okay.
And then you can make as many more as you want. And actually, it's great if you do make more, because everybody who you make a contact with gets the point for that summit, too. They get the points for it. Parks on the air is different. Parks on the air is 10 contacts.
Wow.
So.
And isn't that even harder? Because you were saying that once you get to a summit, it's all clear, right?
Oh, it's really nice. So
to get four contacts would be theoretically easier on a summit than in a park.
I have thoughts on that, but I think that's largely because all of my portable radio gear is so QRP based, so lightweight, low power radio based. It's easy for me to set up really quickly and make the contacts and be done with it for soda. Parks on the air, though, you know, Mike, KMRD, he's kind of like the soda guy, right? For
KMRD
YouTubers bunch, and he has done QRP for sure. For Parks in the Air, but a lot of time he uses 100-watt output radio. And that seems to be a little bit easier. Plus, he also uses these bigger freestanding antennas to like get out.
He uses the DX Commander, right?
He does, among other things. Mike's done a lot of videos on antennas. But kind of an interesting point with that is geographically, he's kind of in an okay spot to do Parks on the Air.
What makes it an okay spot?
So he's like in an Illinois area, so he can get to the East Coast really, really easily
because
he's so much
flat?
Closer. Well, no, he's closer.
Oh,
he's just geographically closer.
Oh, okay.
100 watts to get to the East Coast is easier than me to get to the East Coast on 100 watts. So, for instance, Mike has said many times, like during his POTA, I've tried to hear Mike when I'm out, like and about, I'm in my car, he says he's doing an activation, I'll try and tune up his frequency, never hear him.
Okay.
So he kills it because there's so many hams that are on the East Coast.
Oh.
There's more hams centralized in the East Coast than there is in the West Coast.
Why is that?
There's more people there, all up and down the coastline.
There are more people on the East Coast?
That are hams? Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Why are there more hams on the East Coast?
I don't know. That's just the way it works out. I can show you I can show you an example of it, but that seems to be part of the reason why when you're on the east side of the Rockies, that the parks in the air situation is a little bit different, it seems like, because we're separated by large mountain ranges.
Right.
But you still got to get the 10 contacts. So
right.
It's interesting. I'm going to put a good full-on effort for a couple of parks on the air activations. But from my point of view, I'd rather just hike up to the top of the mountain and work sure. soda, because I can hit East Coast no problem when I'm on the summit. At least I have before. Parks on the air, not as easy QRP.
I almost want to...
I brought this up because of the whole QRP are heroes thing.
And yes, QRP
they are on
heroes.
A summit, not in the park necessarily. At least in California. At least in California.
That does make me want to pick up photography again, so that when you go hike up, like when we go up to a summit, as you're setting up all your gear for radio, I'm setting up all my tripod and everything.
That's what Kevin does, W6RIP. That's what he does. He brings his massive full-frame DSLR camera up with him with his radio gear.
Wow.
And he stops as he's hiking up to take really cool shots.
Wow.
And so while he's doing the contacts, he intersplices the pictures he's taken.
Oh, that's amazing.
Very, very nicely done. Really, really nicely done. Actually, a couple of people are like that. Obviously, there's a lot of photography buffs within the YouTube community because they're already camera-based.
Right.
So a lot of them are like, well, I got this DSLR. It already takes great pictures. I bet it takes great video. Hey, it does.
We go hiking, we're carrying up cameras, we're going to carry up our drone, just like...
Yeah. I mean, that is one nice thing about parks on the air. So again, considering soda, you know, we got to hike up to the top of a mountain and then we do the activation. And there are mm-hmm. some drive ups. We've got a couple of drive ups we have to go check out because they're potential spots for the next camp out.
Mm-hmm.
But parks on the air, you think about it, you just drive to the park. And you can, once you're in the park, you can activate anywhere in the park.
I mean, we can go camping once it's cooler. There's just no way I'm sitting outside in 100 and something degree weather.
We're camping. Where's Leia? Oh, she's in the car.
Yeah.
The car's on. You're not like that. You'd complain about it, but you'd make do.
Well, I wouldn't choose to go camping in a heat wave, though. It's not me. It's that the kids, like today, I went over to my mom's to do a socially distanced front yard picnic. Mm-hmm. I try to do it once a week, and really I needed to hit it this week because school starts, and I don't know that that's going to be possible school starts.
Yeah.
And we were out there for maybe 20 minutes. They started sweating. And they were like, I want to go home. It is too hot out here.
Wow.
Edison started crying.
Oh, my gosh.
And my mom was trying to bribe them with, like, chocolates and cookies.
Your mom's just so happy to see you. Yeah. And they're like, I want to go.
Yes. This is miserable.
I want to go back to the air conditioner.
Yes.
Where the tablets are. Well, the kind of part of the reason I brought it up, too, was... there was a whole lot of delusions of grandeur that I thought would happen when we went to the park.
What did you think was going to happen?
You might actually ask about the radio. Ben might get interested and ask questions. And I kind of was like, I was having him help me set up the antenna.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, no. And nobody wanted to do anything
radio. No, what did we end up doing? No, I was dead set on going on a hike. That's what I was sold on, that we were going to go to a park with a hike.
Oh, the park down the street is where the hike is, by the way.
Yeah. So that's not the park you went to. There was a hike at, I think that's actually a different entrance to the same trail.
Yeah. It's the same park.
Yes.
But the other side of the park is not like a family park.
It was good though.
It's a wilderness park.
What's the name of the park?
Chino Hills State Park is the landmass, but it's not that.
It's something canyon. Carbon Canyon?
Carbon Canyon, yeah.
And coming through the regional park side, there is a butterfly garden where all of the plants are labeled.
Were there butterflies?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean,
and we picked the right time of the year to go there then. Actually, yeah. We saw a bunch of those huge butterflies that were flying around.
Yeah. They have a full-on butterfly garden, and it explains.
Is a butterfly garden just special plants that butterflies like?
That's totally it. Well, there are certain plants that are the only place that certain butterflies will reproduce on. Like, I have milkweed out there. Mm-hmm. That is the only place that I think the monarchs lay their eggs.
What? Really?
Yeah. So if at some point milkweed all went extinct,
I'm keeping it alive,
monarchs
keeping the dream
might
alive.
Also.
Very good. Well, that was my topics of discussion. Thank you for walking through that a little bit. I found the G sock thing probably the most interesting. So I'll definitely be doing a review on that.
Well, it sounds like you've already bought it. So
yeah, I pretty much have to review it now. But I'll be curious to see how it's all. So some of the, to go back to it a little bit, because I didn't really hit on it. There are a lot of beliefs on what it does, and it does say that it does digital mode decoding capabilities.
Is that supposed to be FT8?
I don't think it'll do FT8. I don't think it will decode FT8, but I think it will decode PSK31 and like RIDI and some of the other digital modes.
Huh.
The curiosity, and this is the thing that a lot of people are interested, because there's a video. I won't show the video right now, but maybe after we're done here, I'll show you the video. But there's a keyboard, like a wireless keyboard, that is next to it. And so some people thought, because it's on that video, that you'd be able to connect a keyboard into it and then interface the screen directly.
That must be such a dream for ham radio operators, not to have to hook into a computer to do any kind of programming.
So very interestingly, you say that. There is another radio company.
Oh,
I didn't mention
gosh.
It. So maybe I'll mention it before
so
we go.
Many, so
we're,
many
we're pretty
radio
much out of time here,
companies.
But Flex Radio is...
Oh, that's the big baddie.
Very expensive.
Yes.
They are full SDR. They look like a computer. It looks like a computer.
That's the classy, moody Ratchet.
What?
Oh, it's not Ratchet. What is it? Never mind.
Okay.
Forget the TikTok song now.
That radio is full SDR. You need like a computer to interface with it. It doesn't have a screen. I mean, you can buy one with a screen, but it largely doesn't have a screen.
I just feel like people have such a hard time programming radios because one.
Well, but you're saying program radios. I think you're still stuck in the handhelds. You don't program a lot of radios in HF other than interface it with a computer to do digital modes.
Gotcha.
That's not programming per se. If that makes sense.
So what is the keyboard on the, is it a D-SOC or a G-SOC?
G-SOC. Okay, there's no G-SOC. Keyboard. It's a touchscreen though.
Well, you said that there's a little keyboard in the picture.
No, in the video. That's like a third party Bluetooth keyboard.
I see.
That's in the video.
Okay.
Doesn't imply a lot. Here is the Flex Radio version of the G-SOC.
Wow,
that's the Maestro.
Good looking. Wow.
So the Maestro,
it's like a Leica.
It's the Leica of ham radio.
Yes.
So the Maestro wirelessly connects to.
That thing is $1,200.
That's not a radio.
That's just the control
that's
console.
That's not a radio. That's
how
the
much
iPad.
Is the Flex Radio?
They're all like $2,400 and up. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
They're $1,000 more than the Elecrafts? Are
yeah,
they
so
made
the,
in America?
Well, the Flex Radio is an American company. So the Flex Radio 6400 is $2,000. And the Flex Radio 6600. This is sans screen. No screen. This is what the radio looks like, Leah. It's a box. $4,000.
Wow. That looks like just like a computer.
It is, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez, we did it again.
Yeah. Maybe we should just change what we call Alexa.
Maybe. Might throw the kids off a little bit, though. That'd be fun.
Welcome.
but I found the whole thing interesting is that the Chinese companies are kind of like following along with a business model that kind of already exists. Like Flex Radio is the 100-watt radio.
That is the Chinese motto.
But like it's got a wire on it and it's like big, but it's not really portable. It's very interesting.
I mean, the majority of companies in China are kind of focused on this. Oh, that's a good idea. We're going to make that too.
Right. What, how do we build this? Well, I got like 20,000 of these 7-inch screens and like this
no,
box.
It's more like we got a lot of cheap labor. Let's just make them.
Let's get some dudes.
Yeah, exactly.
Make it happen. No, I'm sure there's way more work that went into it, of course.
Yeah.
But I found the whole confluence of it interesting because, you know, Flex Radio is very expensive, very expensive. And those are 100-watt output radios that you could put an amp on. And then, you know, now you look at the price of the KX3, the fully loaded KX3, $2,500.
So affordable.
So affordable. With the screen.
And then the G90, my goodness.
It's $1,000. It's like, come on. But then you're like, okay, but that 7300 is cheaper in some cases if it's a sale day.
Right.
So,
and all in one. Do people like it being modular?
They like it being modular insofar as like you could just leave the screen at home.
Do people do that?
Yeah.
Because don't you get used to the way you interface with a radio? And then not really want to change had that feel.
Sure. But like, I mean, the G90, you're not going to, the G90's big enough already. If you're dragging that
right,
into the field.
Right, I remember that being heavy.
Yeah. If you're going to drag that into the field, you're probably not going to drag its 7-inch screen along with it too.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't need that in the field. You can just use what's on the front panel.
You rough it.
Yeah,
you're roughing
it. It already has a waterfall.
Oh.
It's just the size of a big postage stamp.
Is that called a waterfall or is it called a spectrum analyzer?
A spectrum display.
Okay.
Spectrum analyzer is a different, that's okay. Actually a device.
Okay, a spectrum display.
That's a piece of test equipment.
What is the difference between a waterfall and a spectrum display? Color?
No. Spectrum display will give you the, at the moment, what the peak is of the signal being heard.
Oh.
A waterfall is showing you the intensity of that peak over time.
Do you know the only reason why I know there's a difference? Because when you reviewed the lab fine of 999.
The TX500, yeah. And they're like, that's not a waterfall.
Yes, so many comments. That's not a waterfall.
The people just love commenting on things like that. They're just, yeah. That's not it. Like, okay. Did you know what I meant? That's not the point. You did it wrong.
I just did it to you, too. It's like, is it a waterfall?
See? Is it? Yeah. Anyway. Well, that's going to do it, I think, for us. This is a long episode. So
is it really? How long?
Almost an hour and a half.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
So hopefully this is enjoyable to everybody. Make sure you subscribe to us on wherever you podcast. We would love it if you gave us a review. Please send your comments, particularly on merch ideas, to Leia@hamtactical.com. If we like your idea, I guess we might shoot you back a shirt for your effort. And that's fun. We'll see how that whole thing goes.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how well I can hobble together a G.I. Joe themed.
Yeah, we're really testing Leia's capability in the graphic artist area.
I think
area.
It took me 2 hours to actually get a Shegu G90 accurately buttoned out to put, and it shrank down into what this guy
barely this perceivable
little guy
in the
is
image.
Holding
yeah
in the in a woods shirt for what is it, in case of emergency, grab G90,
go
in
a
woods.
yeah
that was,
but you did a great job. It was nicely done. And of course, check me out on the YouTube Ham Radio Crash Course, where we do our weekly video and our live stream every Saturday at 5 p.m. And if you want to support the show, the best way to do that is check us out on Patreon, because that gives you access to early content and the newsletter that goes out once a month, along with some other perks, some stickers and some other fun stuff. But that is where we'll leave it. Thank you, Leia, for joining us again. And I guess we'll see you again next week.
73.
73.